Good day. Welcome to another edition of The Front Page on Morehead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Chuck Moraz. We're joined by Rowan County Judge Executive, Dr. Walter Blevins, as we talk about county business. And welcome back to the show. Appreciate the time.
Glad to be back.
Always How's the good. Summer going?
Good summer. Things are happening. We're making things take shape here on the jail. We're seeing the pad put down now, and we're hopefully going to have a groundbreaking maybe toward the end of the week following the 4th of July.
Yeah, so I've been by there a few times. It looks like it's gone well. I know they've had to do a lot of earth moving.
That's part of the process. You've got to have a good pad to build on, and so they've got the building is on a pad of good, healthy soil.
So when you talk about, I think you and I talked about the fact they've got to put in some concrete pylons as part of the base of this. Is that right?
Correct. Yeah, there'll be, you got to have a good solid foundation. That's what they plan on doing to make sure that we don't have any settling and make sure we don't have any cracks in the future.
I know other people drive by there, too, and they're kind of wondering when they'll see actual concrete going up, steel, things like that. When can they expect to see some of that?
Well, we hope soon. Hopefully in the next couple of weeks we'll start some major stuff going on, but we've got to wait on permits from the state to make sure that we meet their specifications. But I think we've been told by the architects and by our construction manager that that'll happen.
You and I talked recently the fact that the $15 million in bond sales went very well.
Yeah, 2.73% interest rate. That's a pretty good interest rate for 20 years. And I think our payment's going to be about $1,045,000 a year. We think the increase in the payroll tax will bring in at least $1.7 million. So that gives us about $600,000 that we can put in for our roads and also put in for maintain our health and security, our ambulances, and also some for the police as well.
So, yeah, and that's important. And I know that there had been concerns up until the bond sales and until the payroll tax was increased about having to pay for the jail, but is everybody pretty comfortable right now?
As far as I can tell, everybody's fairly comfortable. We think we've made a good decision, and we've not had anybody really come to court and criticize us for what we were trying to do to help the community.
I saw something on the agenda. I know we'll kind of jump around on that a bit, but I saw that when we talk about projects, that there has been at least looks like a proposal to expand the Tri-County Animal Shelter.
Well, I brought that up. I had a young lady that, sometimes we've had to get rid of some of those dogs, especially if we're overcrowded. Don't like to do that, but if they're sick or if they're vicious dogs, that's part of the process. And she came to the office and wanted to see if there was a way she could help raise some money to help expand the facility. There's enough room over there to expand, but it's just a matter of dollars. We put a lot of money into that facility every year. It's out of taxpayers' dollars to maintain it. It's really not a money maker. It's like having a jail, and you don't make any money off of them very seldom, but you just try to maintain what you've got. We had a conversation about what to do with our horses. We have abandoned horses sometimes, and we're going to talk to our health board, our animal control board, and let them look at that issue and make some recommendations to the court. But at present time, we're going to continue. If there's a horse running loose out on the interstate or running loose here in town, we need to make sure it's not going to cause damage to the community and damage to individuals. So we'll continue to pick up the horses.
Is it a problem right now? I mean, this is something that's the first I've heard of.
I don't think it's a major problem, but anytime you see a horse over there at the animal shelter, when you're used to seeing dogs and cats, you kind of it kind of alarms some people, and we don't have a facility per se that is adequate for that. I think I was told that Miss White, Jan White, has offered her facility out there. If we have a real problem with horses, she'll actually take them until we can find a place for them.
Do they just take them to the animal shelter at this point and move them someplace
else? That's what we did. I think we had two horses here, and we had them over at the animal shelter, and basically just had a tarp over them. But it's not the best place for a horse to be. But we were able to find a rescue situation in Lexington. We took the horses to Lexington, and they're in proper care now.
Yeah, this has been something I've heard of elsewhere. First time I've heard of it here in Rowan County.
I believe those two horses maybe came out of Carter County. We have an agreement with Carter County on their dogs and cats, at least the dogs, and we didn't know what to do, so we went ahead and tried to handle the situation. But we're going to look at that and make sure we're doing the right thing.
I also saw, in getting back to the jail issue, that there's an agreement regarding the Morgan County.
Those are typical agreements that we sign every year, that we'll take their prisoners. Right now, we're not allowed to take any out of county prisoners because of the overcrowding we have here already. So, but will you still sign those documents? I guess in a real pinch, you could take them. If we'd had the room, we could take those prisoners from Morgan County. Yeah. But at present time, we are running at capacity.
Oh, and then
over capacity, yeah. Yes.
And I remember there was a time that Morgan County prisoners did come to Round County when there was space.
But, yes, but yeah. And we've signed agreements with all our surrounding counties in regards to that, even the counties with jails, because sometimes they'll be overcrowded and they'll need a place. And if we've got one, we can try to accommodate them.
When the new jail opens, it's 302-bed jails, as we've discussed here on the program.
Well, that's kind of changed.
That changed.
I had a meeting with the corrections people in Frankfort. They actually came up here to the courtroom, and they've changed the regulations in January of this year after we've planned this thing and we had 302 beds. They, under the new regulations, if you've got what you call isolation beds, where you can only put one bed in that facility, one bed in that one cell. And we had two beds in there because a lot of times you won't have anybody that actually needs to be in isolation. So we were going to have two beds in there, but they're saying we can only have one bed. But at the same time, they told us that we can put what they call a boat or a kind of an air mattress or type thing so that we can actually use that as a bed. We just can't put an actual bed in there. It's kind of crazy because we thought, well, we're down from 302 down to 270. And then they told us in the same conversation that if you look at the space that we have available, we could probably take up to 340 prisoners. We can't have beds for 340, but we can have those boats or temporary beds, cots or pads you put down on the floor.
Seems like it's almost an argument over semantics in some
way. Yeah, a lot of it is, but they said we could take it to Frankfort and fight the battle, but they said we'd lose. So we're going to be able to hold, more than the prisoners we planned on holding. We'll be able to do. I don't want to do that, but in some cases, sometimes that's the only choice you have.
So the actual capacity then goes up to 340?
340.
Wow, that's a lot.
That's a lot. I'm hoping we don't have to get up to that because, I mean, it's really your... that was taken away, I think, part of the gymnasium, that they would be sleeping in the gym. You put those cots down, but you'd like to have that gym available for most of the time. But, again, just at night times when those cots would be brought in and prisoners would sleep on the gym floor.
But at the same time, none of this changes the structural design.
Nothing changes the structural design. No, it's up to it just so that it was the bed count.
Okay, so it's kind of an interesting change.
Yeah, it was kind of interesting to me as well, and I think my jailer and my and my architect, they were upset because, we didn't know anything about these regulations, so they passed them in January.
With knowing that the Department of Corrections, knowing that Rowan County is building a new jail, I'm surprised that someone didn't advise you when you're going through the process of getting this thing built.
For some reason, it didn't happen. Maybe because we have a change in administrations, and it's probably part of that, I would say.
Okay. All right. You were talking about roads. I know this is generally about the time that the county's road crew gets out and starts to repair the roads from the winter. And how are things going there?
Well, pretty good. I mean, you always hear complaints. Somebody wants the road fixed prior to someone else's. But I think we're making progress. We've had a setback because one of the trucks was in an accident. Two of the guys that work there are still off duty. We're hoping they'll be back soon. At least one of them is definitely going to be back hopefully in the next week or so. But that makes us shorthanded. We're shorthanded in men. We're shorthanded also in truck, lack of a truck. We're hoping that'll be resolved and it'll be totaled and we'll be able to go out and purchase another vehicle. This is a tough time. We actually have decided we're going to try to use some of the inmates for some of the mowing and weed eating along the roads. Hopefully we can find those inmates at the jail that are willing to work and do a good job for us.
And people might wonder about the safety of doing that.
We'll have people watch them, and they're not going to turn them loose. There'll be somebody to supervise them.
And, of course, you probably vet those people pretty well to make sure they're the right kind of people.
You do. I mean, these are people who are going to be out on the street in a few weeks or months anyway. So, I mean, they're not very dangerous criminals.
Is there enough money for resurfacing and other types of projects?
There's never enough money to do it all, and people just have to understand we have to look at priorities and we try to take care of the worst problems first, and that's what we're going to try to do. We're doing a lot of patching right now. Actually, the price of blacktop is supposed to go down a substantial amount in July, and we're kind of holding off on any kind of major paving till probably 1st of July, which isn't, you know, it's not very far away, and people have waited this long, they can wait. But there's some talk that we may not get our flex dollars until maybe in October. October is not the best time in the world to be blacktopping. We've done some of that in the past because people want to have something on the surfaces. But the delay in the amount of money that we're going to receive from the state on this flex dollars, it may force us to have to wait on the blacktopping until next year. But you'll actually do better because if you're blacktopping in late spring, early summer, the conditions are much better for the blacktop to last.
How much is the state supposed to send in flex dollars?
I think it's around $300,000, I think, for the flex funds.
That's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money. And then, of course, we put about, I think, $900,000 in ourselves. Last year we had about $300,000, again, from the discretionary dollars that the governor can put forward. And we're not sure there's going to be discretionary dollars this time. Again, that's left up to the governor, and we're going to lobby him very hard for our share of those if there are discretionary dollars. But right now, I don't think anybody knows if there'll be dollars for that.
I'm just kind of curious. This past winter was relatively mild. There were a couple of tough times, I think, but at the same time, I'm believing that the roads aren't too bad.
I don't think they're that bad compared to what after the floods we went through. Of course, we got some money through FEMA to rehabilitate some of those roads. Again, we only get 75% of the money to do that from FEMA. The rest of it came out of our county proceeds. But again, I think the future with the payroll tax that we increased, we're looking at about $600,000, at least that much, that we can put into the roads. And again, some of that will go for the ambulances. We just bought 3 brand new ambulances. They'll go online hopefully in early July. That will help us, and hopefully down the road we'll have money to replace the other 3 in the next year or so.
You and I have also discussed the fact that with the increase in the payroll tax at some point or another down the road, you're hoping that after you get past some of the debt that the county has incurred, that maybe some of that money can go into other things like a new park.
That's my priority. I'd love to see us get some better recreation facilities. I think most communities that are looking forward are trying to have recreation facilities that will attract people to your community. Of course, the tourism people are willing to put about $1.5 million into if we could do something with Sunnybrook. Rocky was able to get us some roads out there, so that project is not completely dead.
Can that perhaps kickstart the rest of this process?
I think it can. I mean, anytime you get something to help you spur this movement to bring better recreation facilities to this community, that's a step in the right direction. Sometimes that's the impetus for really making other people realize that it's important and that we need to put some dollars in those areas to make sure that we can be a thriving community. The thing I look at, and I think that's what Kenneth is concerned about, he's trying to help underprivileged children have a chance in their lives just like he did. And it's a wonderful program. I'm tickled that he's still keeps Moorhead in his sights.
Again, we're talking with Rowland County Judge Executive Walter Blevins today on Front Page. We'll do some more of that right after this.
There are many ways to connect with Moorhead State Public Radio. Log on to WMKY.org for enhanced regional news, on-demand audio and video, breaking news from NPR, and information on your favorite programs. Get links to Facebook and Twitter while you listen to our live broadcast online, or download mobile apps from NPR and take 90.3 FM with you everywhere. Connect with your community and Moorhead State Public Radio. Visit WMKY.org.
Can't keep up with local news and sports during your busy day? Let Moorhead State Public Radio update you on your world during our midday newscast. Whether you're in the office, the car, or on a lunch break, Tune in to 90.3 FM every weekday at 12:06 for an in-depth look at news, sports, and weather. Don't let your busy lifestyle keep you from knowing what's going on around you. Tune in each weekday at 12:06 p.m. for MSPR's Midday Report.
And we're back on Front Page again. Our guest is Dr. Walter Blevins, Rowland County Judge Executive. We've been talking about county business a moment ago. We were talking a little bit about recreation, and it kind of goes hand in hand in something I was going to ask you about, Judge Blevins. There was a report here recently about the overdose fatalities here in Rowland County regarding opioids and also now fentanyl and some heroin and things of that nature. And I guess there were 12 deaths last year in the county as the result of drugs. And providing a spot perhaps for kids to do something else and be involved with things besides drugs could maybe help lower that number.
That's what I'm hoping. I think, and I think the evidence is there that, you know, communities that take care of their children, keep them busy, give them, let them run that energy off, give them good things to work at versus just idle time. Idle hands are the devil's hands, they say. So you got to keep these kids busy, and having good recreation facilities is the key to that, and I think it will help solve some of those problems. Of course, the needle exchange thing, we've talked a little bit about trying to do that here in Round County. I understand that it's going to take effect up in Boyd County here in the next few days, and I think that's a step in the right direction because not only are people jeopardized from that but with their own lives, but you can also spread the disease, the AIDS and hepatitis C. Those kinds of diseases are spread through the intravenous drug use, and we're going to have to get a handle on that. Of course, the state passed some legislation, so that allows us to do that. It's something we're some of my people are a little concerned about. They're a little worried that we might be promoting it, but I mean, we've got the problem. I've been up and down the roads a few places here in the community, and I've seen hypodermic needles just laying there on the ground. I mean, people are using it, so hopefully we can. That's the one thing about the needle exchange program that you don't want to identify people, but at least you're bringing them to an area where maybe they can get some literature, maybe they can get a pat on the back from somebody that said, hey, we can also get you a needle, clean needle, but we can also give you some help to get you off there. So you can maybe get people with the right, had the right people skills to maybe get those people to realize they need to change their lives. And that's I mean, it's a terrible thing to lose somebody to drugs, and we're losing more and more people all the time.
Where is fiscal court in the process of discussing a needle exchange program?
Actually, it'll be up to our health department probably to make that decision. We've had some conversations. We're trying to educate ourselves and see what other communities are doing, but we've not made the big step yet to do it in our region. But again, I think it's just a matter of time. We're going to have to do something because it seems the problem keeps growing, and instead of getting better, it seems to be getting worse.
Can't help these people till they come forward.
That's right. And again, you can't try to identify these people and give these names to policemen because they're never going to come around. But you can. I mean, I think there's a little community up in Indiana where they had about 300 cases of AIDS because people just. They were sharing needles and stuff, and that's probably it's $80,000 to $100,000 probably to treat those people, and you still, you know, they're probably still going to have miserable lives and not have much of a life anyway. So you've got to try to prevent disease as best you can, and that's part of the needle exchange program is to try to prevent diseases.
How are the renovations going with the Rowland County Veterans Museum and also the old jail that they're turning into an art studio?
Happy to report, I think we're making some progress there. We've basically steam cleaned the outsides of the building. I think they'll look much better than they did. We're going to eventually try to, when blacktop comes in here in July, we're going to try to blacktop that parking lot. We've fixed there were some bricks that were coming loose. We actually used county forces with the help of the Morehead State University. They loaned us one of their lifts and we got up there and we got those bricks put in place, tried to seal them in with some caulking, and we hope they'll stay that way. There's some people think maybe the ring of the bell might be jarring them loose, so we'll have to follow that and keep an eye on it. But I really think it's probably some of that mortar just got loose. Water gets back in there and it freezes and just pushes them out. But We're going to keep an eye on, but I think we did a pretty good fix and very, very little cost to the public as well.
There was some water problems, I think, in the basement.
In the basement, some of the drainage was put in, got crushed, and they were basically just draining right into the soil. And when that happens, it's going to leak back into the building. We did the one side, and actually I did this myself. While they were working on the bricks, I was out there cutting those lines and had some extra time on Friday morning, and I went ahead and prepared those drains myself, and I guess I get a little back work out of the county judge's good sometimes.
Well, at the same time, perhaps you start a new career once you leave.
No, I don't think it'll be
county government.
That's not my career, I assure you.
So, is the leakage problem now fixed?
Well, we think so. We haven't had a real good rain since then, but the coming this week looks like, or actually today, we may have some pretty good rains, and we'll find out if they're putting in those drains and getting it out of the way from the building. Hopefully, we'll solve the problem. It solved the problem on the side that we had taken care of first, and we're going to try to get our county forces down there when we get back to full strength and try to do that project ourselves. We can go in there and dig those trenches up and put new pipe in there. Hopefully that won't collapse.
What's left to do at the two buildings?
Well, we've got a new roof on the Veterans Building. They're going to put a guttering up, and we're going to also try to divert the water away from the building on that. Was there some leakage down in that basement as well? So we're working on remedies for that. We're making progress. We're still working on the heating and air conditioning. We do have a nice new register in there in Ashley's office, where it's quiet and also warm and cool now for her. She actually went up in the hospital because of the cold weather and the heater's not working. So we're going to hopefully fix that in the near future. We're looking for some quotes. We'll get on that as soon as we can.
Okay, we've got about a minute left. Anything else you'd like to share with us?
Well, I think things are looking up. The jail's moving forward, and that's been a project way before I took office. And as far as monetary levels go, I think we've got about $2.1 million, almost $2.2 million in surplus dollars, basically, or in cash. Of course, about a million of that we're going to have to spend to pay the $3 million note off. We've got about $1.2 million plus the other million, and then another, we're going to take a million out of our $15 million bond issue to pay that initial $3 million. That'll be paid off. But again, most of those dollars have already been – we spent a lot of them on the purchase of the jail and also on the architectural fees. We still think we're going to get close to $1 million, maybe a little over $1 million from the state, hopefully this coming month. To help offset at least about $1 million of those architectural fees.
Yeah, that was what they owed you statutorily.
Statutorily, and we went to court, and they decided in the last budget, with the help of Rocky again, that we're going to hopefully get that $1 million to help us offset some of the taxpayers' dollars here.
How big is that?
That's big. That's always big. About $1 million is always big.
All right, Judge, as always, thanks so much.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Again, that's Rowland County Judge Executive Walter Blevins. I'm Chuck Meraz on Front Page. See you next time.